What is going on, everybody? Welcome back. I am super, super excited to be back doing season 4 of the hashtag Are You Okay, Mate podcast. And in true Jamie Archer style, I'm going to kick off with an amazing guest. Now, today's guest, first and foremost, I can't thank enough for him taking time out of his day to do this for us. Secondly, I'm blown away by his generosity, and I want to introduce the one, the only, the amazing Paul Denan. Paul.
Oh, mate.
And the title of the podcast, Are You Okay, Mate?
I am okay. Yeah, but I'm good today. Today is a good day, and I really appreciate you getting me on. And thank you. Yeah, I'm really good today. Things are good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good as well. Cheers, bro. I'm good. And like I say, super excited to be back, doing season 4. But yeah, it's been a good day. I think we're starting to get out of winter now. So, I'm doing really well, man.
I think that too. I don't think the heating's on as much, which is good. And, I'm just not as cold as much as it has been. I mean, it feels like the winter's really gone on for a long time now, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about it this morning. Like, I was thinking, I'm sure I've been...
It's time to just go now, isn't it?
I've been getting up in the dark for the last 6 months, so yeah.
Oh, no, God, don't. Oh, yeah, you would really notice it.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, of course.
So, so it's good. Right, Paul, for those that don't know who you are, first and foremost, they must be living under a rock, but introduce yourself, bro.
Yeah, I introduced myself. Well, yeah, I'm Paul Denan. I'm an actor, and I have a company that I developed called Mad Morning After Drama, which it's a theatre company where I go around the country. I have different places where I do it. I have one theatre company in Bristol and in Weston-super-Mare. And then I go into prisons and schools and probation and stuff like that, and teach people method acting. It's a certain kind of, like, I don't like the word drama therapy, but it is like a therapy. It's very therapeutic. Yeah. It's like confidence building and stuff like that. But it's about using your own kind of memories and experiences and acting out. It's a lot of fun, but it's also can be quite educational, where we kind of, like, we'll act out scenarios and scenes that might have happened in our lives or someone we know. And it's a way of kind of connecting with, like, so it's basically for people with mental health and addiction problems. Sorry, I forgot to say that. But addiction is a mental health problem because it centers in the mind. So, and a lot of people don't really understand that, but it's the thinking. It's the stinking thinking that makes people kind of, go, oh, I need to drink, or I need something to numb my feelings. So it's basically, I hope that soon it will be reclassified from addiction to a mental illness. And obviously mental health is a big deal, and especially for me, I've been through my own journey with it. I have ADHD, and I've been through a lot of problems with addiction. And I, this has helped me as much as it helps everyone else. And it's, I deliver it for free. I go to rehabs as well. I've got a couple of rehabs that I do. And I get them up. And, they're not actors, but they end up realizing that, and I always say to act is not to act. It's about, like me and you are speaking now, the camera could be on us. It's like, it's natural, isn't it? It's like, people believe what if they watched this film, watched us doing it, they would think, oh, this is the first time they've ever said these words, which is true. And when you act, and even if you're rehearsing a scene or doing a play, that's what people want to see. They want to believe that it's the first time that those words or that conversation or that scene has ever happened, even though you might have rehearsed it 50 times, you know. It's got to come across like that, like when you watch a film, you know. And so it's about keeping it natural, but theatre obviously is bigger than TV and film, so you kind of got to keep it, you got to, you know, give it a, you know, performance. But when it's too fake and over the top, people don't believe it, think, oh, it's crap acting. And, you know, like, the thing is, like, after a while, like, you see these people, they come in, they've been stuck in their homes, or they've been too, like, through COVID or whatever, and too scared to come out, their anxiety is through the roof and blah, blah, blah. And then they take a little, you know, leap of faith, go and join a group like mine. And then within literally a few weeks, man, they're up doing scenes and they're like a different person, and they're confident and they're laughing and they're chatting, and then they can't wait to come do it again. And it helps them with their own social, skills and interaction with others. And soon they don't want to be stuck at home. They want to be out meeting people, going out for dinner, going out on dates. And it's like, it's amazing, the transformation, you know, and that's what I'm really proud of.
Paul, you should be 100% proud of that, and big up yourself, man, for giving back.
Thank you.
For giving back and helping people. So there's just a few points in that I really want to talk about. Firstly, so we speak about that acting. So you were in a very famous TV program called Hollyoaks.
That's it.
Yeah, back in the day. Sol Patrick, weren't it? Sol Patrick.
Isn't it? That's it.
Is who you played.
Naughty soul,
and it couldn't be more different to the character that I'm talking to today.
Well, it's funny because when I was playing Soul, you know, I thought, wow, this guy, he's crazy. Like, he's, you know, crashing cars, stealing them. Yeah. He's going to prison. He's on the streets and all that stuff. And little did I know that years later, that would be me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's that's what comes with addiction when it gets bad, that you can end up, you know, doing stuff that you would never have dreamed that you would end up doing or being or living, but it happens because it takes you to the lowest of lows of debt. You know, it's a really scary place to end up. And more so, not where you, it's more about where your head ends up. Like, you just, you know, you just can't face the world. It's like, we can't do life on life's terms. It's too difficult. Yeah. You know, paying bills, you know, conforming with the way that the government or whatever and just the world should be and everything, you know, you just end up rebelling. And, you know, just because I had this untreated illness that I didn't know, which was ADHD, and it was so bad and it was so overwhelming, and no one ever diagnosed me or did I know about it, that because of it, the only way I felt better was to have a stimulant. And, you know, I ended up, you know, taking drugs to kind of calm it down and to sort it out. But then we all know that drugs don't work. They just make you worse.
Exactly.
So, you know. Thank God I've come out of it now, and I'm able to reflect on it and realize. And yeah, and when I got the diagnosis for ADHD, I thought, bloody hell, why didn't anyone tell me? You know?
Yeah, I think that there's a certain amount of relief that comes when you're diagnosed with something, because it helps you understand your behaviors. So.
Because then you can learn how to manage them, and you know, if then you can also work out if you need medication or if you need to do more meditation or like certain things that can help it. But of course, I didn't know what the solution was. I just thought I was nuts.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like I say, you know, you weren't nuts. You're not nuts. You've got an illness, and it is an illness. I always talk about mental health being treated in the same way as we treat our physical health.
I know, I love that, and it's so true.
Yeah, because like we can, like I do a lot of work with football clubs.
Okay.
And I talk to the footballers and I say to them that if you were to pull your hamstring in training, like you would go and tell your physio.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah. And I go, right, who can tell me how many people died last year of a hamstring injury? The answer's none.
Right.
But over 5,000 people committed suicide.
Yeah.
So why are we not talking about our mental health in the same way we talk about our physical health?
Do you know the statistics? More people die from addiction and alcoholism than they do of cancer. Stage 4 cancer as well. That's bad. So when you've got really bad cancer, more people die from addiction than the worst cancer you could get. Now, I don't know if the listeners believe that, but you look it up. It is, but it's not talked about. It's never talked to, you know, and that is the problem, that there needs to be so much more help and money pumped into addiction and helping people as much as there is being pumped into cancer.
Of course, like you are 100% right. And I think that anyone that's battled addiction themselves or as a family member or a friend that's going through addiction, that's listening to this, will sit here and 100% resonate with you, pal. I know personally I do. It's a struggle that I've had in my family. And to hear those words come from you does offer up some comfort. So thank you for shining that light on addiction.
It's shocking when you find out the statistics and you find out the truth, like, because it isn't talked about. It really worries me. And I just think, but, you know, if the person that's got cancer and they say, the doctor says, right, you need to do chemo, you're going to go and do chemo, right? You'd do anything to not have it, right? Yeah. And that's the thing that we need to be able to help. And it's go, look, there is a solution, there is a way, and it's to go and do some meetings and connect with others, because the opposite of addiction is connection, like-minded people. So connect with people that have got like cancer. So if cancer patients go with cancer patients, they can relate, they can talk about it. Like addiction, alcoholism, they go to AA, they go to NA, CA. And then when you go to these meetings, then you learn a set of kind of tools to use to be able to conquer it. And there is a way, and it's cured millions of people, and it's called the 12 steps. And it's phenomenal, and it's been from the 1930s. And, you know, and I advocate that because it really does work, but, you know, it takes work as well to do it, to apply yourself. But you, if you were told you had cancer, you wouldn't care if you had to do some writing around it or go and make amends and say sorry to people or go to some meetings in some church halls. You'd do that. That's the chemo, right? So why wouldn't you? You would. Now, I'm terrible because I should be doing more, you know, but life takes over. Oh, I'm all right. I don't need a meeting tonight. Oh, I don't need to do any step work, you know, but actually when you don't do it, you feel shit. And then the addict's like waiting. I always say it's waiting outside doing press-ups right now. And that's what's the worst thing about it. It's a disease that tells you you don't have it. So with cancer, you know you've got it, and it's going to, you know, and I'm sorry that I keep using that. It could be diabetes, it could be whatever, but it's that serious that's why I'm saying that word. And I've had lots of family die of cancer. My best friend died of it. So I'm not speaking lightly, but I'm telling the truth. And the thing is, out there it is waiting to get you, and you won't know how it's good because it wants you to be with your mates, and your mates go, go on, have a drink, go on, have a spliff, go on. I was at Snoop last night, and there were so many people offering me a joint. And I tell you, it was hard. And I was like, and then I looked at my brother, I was like, no, I don't, right? And I'm just being really honest. No, I'm okay, thanks, mate. And I didn't need it, but my head lied to me and said, yeah, go on, go on. Now, when you're doing meetings and you're stuck in the middle of the boat, the fellowship, the steps, you're connecting, I wouldn't have even looked at the guy because I wouldn't care, because I would be so like, in the solution, I wouldn't be in that, but my head was going, yeah, you haven't done a meeting. Like, you know what? It wasn't telling me I haven't done a meeting in a week or whatever. It's not even been, you know, I do go every week, but like, you know, it's like, if you're not keeping on top of it, addiction don't take a day off. You know, it doesn't take a day off. So, you know, it's very important for me and for anyone else to just always keep on top of it. Remember where you come from and what got you well in the first place. Because life can take over and you can easily go, I'm all right now. And then, bam, it'll jump on your back. That monkey will get you. You'll be out with your mates. And the next minute, you've got a pint down your neck. And then it's, you call it on and you've got the gear on you, you know, and you're getting the gear in. And it's like, oh, my God, how did I get here again? That's why so many people relapse.
Yeah, I think, like, it for me, I call that, like, finding your why. Like, finding your why. So finding your why is, why do you go above and beyond to keep yourself well? So with me, like, me and you had a chat earlier on the phone, and I shared my story about my suicide attempt in 2017.
I'm so sorry.
No, well, no, don't be, man, because...
No, it really upset me. I was just like, oh, man.
Because without that, I wouldn't be here today doing these...
Really, yeah. And they say the pain that you get and the troubles that happen, they happen so you can learn from them. And actually, in the end, it flips on its head and it makes you that better person, stronger person, because also you remember, oh, yeah, it was horrible. I don't want to be there again.
And, like, for me, my why are my two children. They're my why. They're why I do the work I do. They're why I'm still here. They're why that
I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to remember that because, like, you know, it's all about my little boy too. And I tell
you
what,
man.
They would just, without me, or they, I've only got one, but for you, they, you know, what would they do without you? You know, they're our everything, aren't they?
They are, mate, and they are my everything. They're my world. They're the sole reason I'm breathing today. They're the sole reason me and you are having a conversation. Mm-hmm. They're the sole reason that God kept me here.
Amazing.
And, yeah, so, like, everything that you've just said about, like, you don't need that drink. You don't need that spliff. You don't need to get the gear in. Find your why. And listening to you, mate, will be so inspirational to so many people. So I just want to take it back a little bit more.
Yeah.
You mentioned, like, your diagnosis with ADHD and stuff. Now, being in the public eye, Paul, like, what's that like dealing with a mental illness, addiction, ADHD? And still having to maintain a public persona, because then obviously, like, you're in Celebrity Love Island. Like, how's that, man? Just, like, being in that intense environment, what whilst trying to deal with everything that you're dealing with internally?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I didn't know I had any of those things at that time. So that's the thing. So I just thought, what? Like, I didn't even think what's going on with me. I was just in the madness at the time. So I was just kind of handling it. Like trying to have fun, but at the same time, I think people that might have seen me on, like, Celebrity Love Island and stuff must have thought, bloody hell, I can relate to him, but he's a bit nuts. And the minute I'd have a drink in me or whatever, you know, I'd be like all happy in the beginning, and next minute I'm paranoid. Next minute, who wants a fight? Next minute, who wants a shag? You know, it's crazy. And it's like it just does something to me. It's like I'm allergic to it. You know, it's an allergy. And it's the allergy of the body and allergy of the mind, and it's like the minute I put one in me, I'm just like a different person, and I didn't see that and I didn't know that. And then when Love Island was over and stuff like that, and everyone wants a piece of me and the public eye and the paparazzi and this, and you've got to do this show and that show, and I'm like trying to keep up with it all, but at the same time I'm like, you know, using and everything. Like, you imagine you get paranoid as it is. Well, some people do, like, after a few lines and stuff. Like, oh my God, when you're in the public eye, it's triple. So you're just like, not just, you know, it's so overwhelming and, like, it becomes crippling. So then in the end, I just lock myself away. And then the more that is, then you're isolated. And what's the opposite to addiction? Is connection. So when I'm not connecting and I'm isolating, then I'm in trouble. And I'm keeping it all to myself, and I'm not telling anyone. I'm telling the four walls. I'm calling it on again and again and again, to the point where I'm crumbling, and I can't do no work. I can't be near anyone. But everyone wants, what's going on with him? Or they'll photograph you falling out of a fucking club or a taxi, or and you look like a total waste man. But at the same time, I was really unwell. And I didn't know. And I just didn't know what was going on and why I kept having. So the more, and then it stops working. The drugs aren't working. And so you need more. Then that's not even working. And then that's the time where you go, right, do I either just do myself in, or do I ask for help?
Yeah.
And actually, I'm not the type of person, I never have been, to want to die, or I'm scared of death, or to ever go near the thoughts of suicide. But in a way, it's like worse, because it's a slow death. So you know you're dying, but you don't really know, and you're just killing yourself slowly on your own. Until then, it's like, right, what do I do? Do I just carry on till I'm dead, or do I ask for help? And I ask for help, thank God. And that's when all the rehabs and everything and amazing therapists that I've had over the years, you know, have helped me and taught me so much, which has allowed me now to, and all that stuff I remembered, not that I knew I remembered all that information and all that help, because my dad would go, well, you've relapsed again. Well, that was a waste of money, a rehab and blah, blah. But actually I'd go, but well, no, it wasn't. It saved my life at the time. But it's more than that. It didn't just save my life at the time. Now, all that information has come flooded back, because it must have been somewhere in my brain. And I'm now able to utilize it with people that I teach drama to, and able to chat to them and do check-ins and therapy around what they're going through, and all the information and the education I had, I'm using. And it's like, wow. Yeah. And people are like, well, you're like a bloody therapist. You're like a counselor or therapist. Well, I just know all this stuff because I've had it taught to me. You know, and it's brilliant. And it's like, wow, that wealth of information has stayed somewhere in my brain, and now it's being used for good.
Paul, that's amazing to hear that you and you're right, that the like you said about the relapsing and everything, but okay, you relapse, but all of that counseling, all that therapy, it does stay in your brain and it does help you, and it's like building your toolkit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like later on, for if you go down that road again. So we've spoke about Hollyoaks, we spoke about Love Island and dealing with...
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't speak about the great times, because I had a brilliant times on Love Island. I had brilliant times on Hollyoaks. Like, I owe them everything. I mean, like, thank God that I did do those shows, because the pain afterwards, and there wasn't much help, and there wasn't much direction back in the day, and that is a big deal. You know, no one told me what it was like to be famous with loads of money, loads of women, and being recognised and everything. No one told me what to do with it, or how to handle it, or not to go and get fucked up, and, you know, or like, you know, like, there wasn't much help. And that's why now I can step in and actually help people that are up-and-coming artists and performers, and try and give a bit of wisdom and mentor people. And I hope that there is going to be more and more education, because a lot of people that are in that field, any field really, but definitely in the arts, we're just this creative type that like to get a bit, you know, a little bit drunk, a little bit high, a little bit woo, a little bit way, and then that adulation comes with it, and that recognition, and it is that's like a drug in itself. And when it goes away, you know, when it's not there anymore, it's brutal, man. It's, sorry to swear, but it's really,
no, it's fine. I mean,
it's hard. It's hard.
That was a question I was going to ask you. Like, so after the fame, let's use you. So after Hollyoaks and after Love Island and after the hype sort of dies down, if you're dealing with a mental illness, and in your case was ADHD and anything else, you know, your addiction and stuff, how does that feel once all the hype has died down around you? So what I mean is, like, so when you're on Love Island, you've just said it yourself, you finished Love Island,
Yeah.
And everyone wants a piece of you, but that only lasts for so long. So once that's finished, how does that feel? How does that affect your mental health? How does that affect your
well? You chase it, you chase more. So then you get given a few shows, and I did a couple of. I had my own show called Test Drive My Girlfriend, which is where, like, you know, I'd like for ITV2, where I'd like, you know,
I remember it.
Some girls, and I'd set them up with blokes, and then
That's
I did Cannon Fran and Dangerous Dan, and we'd go on a road trip and everything. But I was slowly getting worse, and I would have been in a few rehabs then, and then come out of the rehab, then the ITV would go, right, come on, or whatever channel, like, can we have the, because they didn't really care, you and me, you know, they're just like, and even if, whether they knew or whether they didn't know. Even if they could see, they just thought, this is his TV gold. The geezer's off his rocker. Now, it's not their fault that they didn't know I wasn't well. But the thing is, you know, it wasn't hard to tell, was it? And they just can exploit you in a way sometimes, or back then anyway. So they're a lot more careful now. But the thing is, when that does finally go, because you're just no good to anyone. I mean, what happened? I'd been in America then, and then so then you're kind of left, and you're just left, and then no one wants to know you really, because they just think, oh well, you know, and it's a shame, because it's just like, you know, there's no, oh, is, you know, are you all right? Do you want to chat? Do you want to meet up? Do you want to? Yeah, and that sucks, man. And then you're left like, oh, you only use me because you wanted ratings, and ratings make money, and, you know, and blah blah. And it is a bit of a cutthroat situation, but it's business, and you know, and that's the thing with the whole thing, is it's all money, and money is the root of all evil with this whole bloody world. Look what's going on at the moment with money. No one's got any. The world's going crazy. The petrol, the this, the that, the wars, the, you know, and it's just hard, man. I was watching the news tonight, only for a second, because I can't bear watching it, because it's just these mums, like, can't even afford food, but they'll do anything to feed their children. Yeah. And it's just like, and all that's happening is everything's getting more expensive, but no one's getting any more money or any better wages. And it's just crippling. No wonder why people are ending up on drinking drugs, you know? Yeah. And it's like, so then when that all goes away and all that, you either, you know, get your brush, you know, get yourself back, you know? But then when you get yourself back and you feel a bit healthier, people don't really want to know, because you've not been around for a while. It's hard to get it all back. And then obviously years later, then it's like, right, no, why don't you do Big Brother? Yeah, all right, go and Celebrity Big Brother, and kind of show people that, you know, you're not like that anymore, and whatever. But the thing is, I am still like that. Maybe not in the addiction sense, but I'm still that person. And even then, I didn't know I had ADHD, because I still hadn't been diagnosed. And there's so many rehabs I went to, and they could have said, oh, maybe you should get a diagnosis for it. But no one did, because it's still, again, about money. Oh, let's just get him back again. If he really, oh, yeah, we're going to get him back again, and it's more money for us. It's sad. It's bad. They're meant to be, you know, these people that help, but it's all business. And only when you realise that, you think, fucking hell, yeah, they were helpful and they were good. But it was only when I went to one place where they said, maybe you should go and get some diagnosis with a psychiatrist. And then when, you know, I got the, oh my God, you've got like the most severe ADHD ever. Like, this psychiatrist, he's top boy at the Priory. He said, I've never known anyone to score off the chart than you did, because you have to do like this thing where you know, and he works it out, and then you have to go through another process. And he just said, well, why has no one ever told you, man? Like, this is, and then he said, why do you think you used cocaine? Why do you think you know? I was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense, because you needed a stimulant. Yeah. So then you get put on medication, and you just suddenly feel so much better. And that hits the same receptors as cocaine does. So you don't need to go and take drugs anymore. And then you manage that in the right way. But it's not just a magic pill. You still have to go and find other things. So I found tennis, which I used to do when I was a kid. And I loved it, because then I can focus on that. And then that just takes me, it just really sorts you out, and it makes you, any kind of that type of thing, exercise, going for walks, being with nature, meditation, group therapy, whatever it may be that helps you or that stimulates you. Now, also, work stimulates me. Acting stimulates me. You know, being on, you know, on stage, or whatever it may be. So So then it was like, I don't want to care about being famous. I never cared about being famous. I just wanted to be an actor. So it wasn't like so much now where I'm going after something that will make me known again or make me more famous. I don't care about that. All I want is something that, yeah, just fulfills me internally, because it's an inside job. It's not about what goes on outside and the materialistic things. It's about how you feel inside, internally. And it's an inside job. And now that's what I know. And that's what I strive to try and keep. And sometimes it's there and I feel great. And sometimes I don't. Well, but I know when I don't, I'm not practicing what I did in the beginning that made me feel good. And, you know, and that's why I say, you know, it's about keeping up, you know, the basics of what helped me in the first place. And I'm telling this to myself right now because I know I slack, you know, but I've got to stop giving myself a hard time, you know.
Finding your why. Paul, we're running out of time. So, I could talk to you for hours, mate, and I'm definitely going to try and get you back on. And obviously, you've got your own podcast as well, so there's definitely scope for us to
I have. It's called...
Go again.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And it's please come and find me, guys. It's The Morning After with Paul Dunan on all podcast platforms. And it's, if you want more of this and just some advice and help, we interview people, we talk about this. I talk about some funny stories and this, that, and the other. I love it. And I've been doing it years and it's great. And isn't it, how does it make you feel when you do your podcast? It's lovely, isn't it, just to talk?
It's lovely just to talk to sit down and talk to people, because ultimately that's how we break any stigmas, is just by having these conversations. So Paul, really quickly, one last question before I go. I went on a 24-hour live stream with someone earlier on in the year, and they asked me this question. I thought it was amazing, so I'm nicking it. Next year in 2024, what are you going to tell Paul Dunan from 2023? So a year from now, what are you going to tell yourself?
Oh, man. What next year, what am I going to tell myself?
So in a year's time, what are you going to look back and tell yourself?
I'm going to tell myself... I'm going to say, well done, man, for getting through what you got through. Because it's been tough lately. And I am going to say you did it. And, you know, it just shows another year. And, you know, it's like that visualizing what you really want to get out of life. Like, what do you want? Like someone said to me yesterday, a good friend of mine, like, well, what do you want? And it's like, why do you keep saying that to me, man? It's like, well, what do you want? Because if you know what you want, and I do, then you really have to do the right things to get it. But you know the wrong things that won't get you that.
Yeah.
So stop doing them. So hopefully next year I'll be able to go, see, knew what you wanted and you went and got it. Well done.
There you go. Paul, thank you so much for your time, man. Honestly,
thank you for having me on.
Thank you for all the amazing work you do around addiction and mental health awareness and all the stuff you do with people that need help. Honestly, man,
thank you for doing what you do. You're an amazing guy and I'm proud of you, mate. I really am. And I think what you've overcome is phenomenal, and you just keep doing what you're doing and you will see, you will reap the benefits. We reap what we sow, you know? And, you know, I just want to say, if it's okay, if you please, people follow me on at Paul Dunan on on Instagram or at Paulie Dunan, Paulie
everywhere, man.
Dunan on Twitter. And, you know, anything that people want to ask me, I always get back to them, because I'm always there to help anyone. So thank you.
And yeah, definitely, guys, go and check out all of Paul's stuff. Check out his Instagram, his Twitter. I'll at him on my Instagram, and I'll at him in the description of this on Spotify. Right, so Paul, thank you. That's the end of the podcast. Guys, come back next week. Got some amazing guests lined up for our April. But for now, that's it, and I'll catch you on the flip side.